Who has a prayer need in the house today? Who has a prayer need in the house today? Will you share it out loud? Will you share your prayer need out loud? Will you share it out loud? What is it?
I need a job.
You need a job. You got to shout because what is?
Salvation for
your family.
Same.
Was that the same? In the back. I didn't hear him.
Alcohol
issues. Okay. Who else was there?
Addiction.
Healing
on my back.
Healing for the body. Anyone else? Yes.
Anxiety for the people that are affected by COVID.
Anxiety. Yes.
Clarity.
Anyone else? Yes.
Peaceful
in life. Peace in life. Anyone else? Some people, I know this normally doesn't happen, but we have to do that. For America. Got one in the back. Okay, I know that one in the back. Anyone else? Yes.
For the students
and the teachers going back. Spoken from a teacher. Amen. Yes.
Relationships.
Anyone else? You know, all week long we try to get here, and sometimes we come in carrying something, and we hope that we can get it prayed for. We hope that God hears us. And we come in just wanting God to do something. And you know what? I really felt stirred in my spirit, man, just to take a few moments and acknowledge what is needed and then pray for it. Because that's why we're here, right? We're here to worship Jesus. We're also here to give him opportunity to move in those areas that need to be moved in. And so, and God's a faithful God. And we're talking about that today. But let me pray for those needs this morning. You keep playing the guitar. Father, I pray right now. Lord, I will not remember every single one of those prayer requests. But Lord, you heard them verbally speak them out. They spoke them and declared those into the atmosphere. Father, from relationships to physical healings to addictions being broken to Father, salvation to the loved ones, for America, for anxiety. Father, you heard the cries of your children here today, and even those who right now are watching online saying, I have this prayer request and I have this need. Lord, we have no one is greater to come to than you to have these needs met. You are a faithful Father. You are a loving Father. And Lord, we pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that every one of those requests would be met. Father, that you would begin to pour into, you would begin to restore, you would begin to move in such a manner that, Father, there would be freedom in people's lives. Father, salvation would come to houses, marriages restored, physical bodies healed, financial situations reversed. Father, America healed from racial tension, from the political realm of things happening. Father, to the schools that are opening up this Tuesday. Father, we pray for teachers. We pray for students. We pray for administrations. Father, we pray that your hand would be upon them. God, divine protection. But God, give them wisdom to lead and do the right things that are needed and necessary as we continue to raise up a young generation. Father, we turn to you for all those that were spoken, even those that were on our hearts, that we didn't speak out, but God, we said in our minds and on the inside, and you heard that. God, I pray that there would be a tangible evidence of this great outpouring, that you're moving in your people, and you're delivering. And God, you're fulfilling Luke chapter 4, that you've come to heal and restore, and to set those that are bondage and held in captivity free. God, we stand on your promises and on your words of who you are. We declare them in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and grab a seat this morning. I want to thank you for being here on this holiday weekend. I know a lot of people, it's a big camping weekend, but I thank you for being here. And spending this Sunday morning with us as we seek the face of God through worship and through prayer. I really believe that it's important when we have those moments to take that time out to pray. You know, I said that last week too, that, you know, we ask God to do things, but then we don't give him time to do it, you know, and so we have to make those moments when we're sensing that that needs to be done to do it. I know sometimes we schedule things out, but really it's God's schedule and on God's timetable, and we're just to steward what God wants us to do, and I think it's so important that we do that. But thank you for being here. We would love to continue to connect with you going into the fall. Small groups are starting, a lot of things happening. And I know a lot of times we don't have that connection. So if you're not receiving our emails, you're not receiving our text and church information, because that's the easiest way to connect with people, I want to encourage you to fill out the form in front of you. It's a blue card. I believe it says I'm a new here. I don't know if the connect cards are there. And on the way out, if you drop it into the offering bowl on the way out, we'll get you signed up. So this way you won't miss out on anything that's happening at the church. We have a busy fall. We're going to continue to be the church and do things in a safe manner. But we got some things coming up that we'd love to see you be a part of and connect with us there. So today I want to share a message. It's called The Faithfulness of God. How many know that we serve a faithful God? Amen, right? We serve a faithful God. I want to share with you some scripture today, going back to the book of Numbers, because I believe that just like Joshua and Caleb with the spies, a lot of times we are put in what I call the in-between stage of God moving, where God had done some great and mighty things in our lives. God gave us a promise. He gave us something to stand on in the future where he's going to take us individually or as a family and in some dimension in our lives. And God does something in the beginning, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves not fully there yet, or we haven't seen the blessing or the promise come to pass yet. So we're not there, but we've come from the first move of God and we're in the middle. And what happens a lot of times in the middle, things can change. We can get frustrated. We can get angry. We can get upset. We can listen to other people and their opinions, which can pull us off what God wants us to do. We can complain. We can murmur. But I want to encourage you to know that in the in-between stage of life, in the in-between stage of God moving, in the in-between stage of God doing something supernatural in our lives, he's still faithful. Amen? We may not be experiencing the move that we want, but that does not mean God is not faithful to his children. You know, sometimes I know this was me, used to be like that all the time, especially in the very beginning of my walk with God, is that if God wasn't moving in the speed and the dimension that I wanted him to, and I wasn't receiving everything that I was desiring, then I was like, well, does he even love me? Is he faithful? Does he care about me? And that's the wrong mindset to take. If God said it, it shall come to pass. It's on his time frame. We just have to be strong enough in our faith to weather through what may be happening or what we may see not happening, to realize that God is going to do something still and that promise will come to pass, because God's words never return void. They never return empty. He always fulfills that which he promises to his people. And so I want us to understand the faithfulness of God today and how you and I serve a faithful God. And so I want to read to you from the book of Numbers, in the Old Testament, chapter 13, I want to read to you the account of the spies' report after they were sent in to spy out the promised land. And so this is what the Bible says in Numbers chapter 13. It says, "And they returned and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the assembly of the children of Israel to the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back the word to them and to the entire assembly, and showed them the fruit of the land." All right, before I go any further, just check this out. They actually brought back evidence of God's goodness, of what he promised he was going to give them. Okay, keep that in mind. They reported to him and said, "We've come to the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruits." So we're reporting that everything you said and everything God has said and was going to give us is true. However, there's the problem, the however. This is where it gets not so good. "The people are strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are fortified and very great. And also we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the edge of the Jordan." Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "Let's go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it." Say, "I am an overcomer." We're an overcomer by the presence of God, by the Spirit of God, by the power of God, and by the faith that we have in Jesus as he moves through us. And it goes on, and they talk about, and he says how we're not able to go up against the people because they're stronger than we are. And just some serious negativity, okay? But if you read down to, and jump over to chapter 14, verse 6, I love what Joshua and Caleb continue to say. It says this, it says that they were the ones who explored the land in verse 6, and they tore their clothes, and they spoke to the assembly of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we have passed through to explore is very, very good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land, and he will give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, because they are bread to us, or for us. Their defense is gone from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." And the assembly wanted to kill them, but then all of a sudden, the anointing, the presence of God appeared at the tent. Father, as we search your word today and we talk of your faithfulness, Lord, give us a greater glimpse and reality of just how faithful you are to us. Lord, let us put all our own humanity aside this day and receive the word that you would speak to us as you impart it through revelation knowledge. Let it be sealed with the Holy Spirit that we can live on it when we leave this place and it would not be stolen or trampled upon by anything that would be against you. Spirit of God, water it and help us to grow in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may grab a seat. So, I read to you the account of the spies' report of the Promised Land. How many of you have a promise from God that you're standing on, that you're believing for? How many of you have something that God shared with you or showed you that you're saying, you know what? Yeah, that's me. I got this. I want to be, right? We're all standing there. Now, there may be a time that you're going to be in that in-between stage. So today, what we hear today, learn from, that we don't turn to be like the people that were around Joshua and Caleb. See, but I say that because we have to realize what God had already done in their lives. God has done great things in our lives here, I believe. We have accepted him as Lord and Savior. He's done a great move, and he's accepted us into the family of God. Some people have been healed. Some people have been set free. Some people have been financially blessed. Some people have been blessed in a multitude of ways. God has done something in your life, and that's no different than these individuals in this passage that I read to you. Because if we study the book of Exodus, what we find is in the very beginning, Moses is tending the sheep on the mountainside out in the desert. Chapter 3 of Exodus. And all of a sudden, God shows up and he begins to speak with Moses. Moses has an encounter with God. When I read that over the weekend, I'm like, what jumped off the page to me was that God can meet me where I'm at. That we don't have to go somewhere to meet with God. That God can meet me where I'm at. That doesn't mean you disconnect from church. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is sometimes we feel like, well, if I can only get to this point or get to this place or get to this person, then God can speak to me. No, God can speak to you on the backside of a mountain in a desert, or God can speak to you in the pew at the church, or God can speak to you in your car, or God can speak to you at your workplace, or God can speak to you in the bathroom. Amen? All right? God can speak to you where God chooses to speak to you, and that's exciting to me. Because that tells me that he wants fellowship and relationship. He wants communication with me. So he's speaking with Moses in the book of Exodus, the third chapter, and he tells Moses, here's the deal, Moses. You're going to lead my people out of bondage, out of slavery, into freedom. I need you to step up, son. And this is the very beginning of what God begins to do with a group of individuals. And so Moses begins to have this dialogue with God in the very beginning. Well, I'm not good enough. I don't speak well. He has all of these excuses of why he can't do what God wants him to do. Anyone ever been there before? Right? We have all of the excuses why I can't do what God's called me to do. Right? Exactly. All buts. But God. But there's no more buts. Lose the but. And so he begins to move and walk and function in what God wants to do. And if you read Exodus chapters 4 through 13, you see there's a preparation of everything leading up to the exodus of God's people. And he faces Pharaoh and begins to demand and tell him things that God was telling him to do. And then all of a sudden, in the 14th chapter, the Pharaoh realizes and begins to release the people, release, you know, God's children to leave the region. And so Moses is leading them. So now we have experienced a great move of God, because these are people who were in bondage, who were making bricks, and at time we'll take away the less straw and let them make more bricks with less straw. And so they literally were under the hands of the taskmaster. God intervenes, begins to remove them. They're now leaving the region, okay? That's a miracle, right? That the chains of bondage have been broken off their lives. So they've experienced one great move of God already. But then they run into the sea. They run to the Red Sea. All of a sudden, they're standing before the Red Sea because Pharaoh's not happy. He wants the people back. So he goes after them. Now they're standing at the edge of the Red Sea, looking at this massive body of water before them. I don't know if they can swim. I don't know if they have boats. All I know is that if they're going to stay there, they're probably going to be killed or taken back into captivity. But God is faithful, because God had a plan for his people. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. And just as he was faithful with them, he'll be faithful with us. And so while he's standing at the edge of the sea, what happens is it begins to be parted. I'm paraphrasing, getting you through what's going on so we can get to the meat of everything. But the Red Sea parts, they go through the sea. The armies follow in, and all of a sudden the sea closes back up. And there's people floating everywhere, chariots floating everywhere. God had now delivered them to the other side. Can I get an amen? God delivered them to the other side. God will deliver you and I to the other side. He will walk us through the storm. Why? Because he's a faithful God. He's faithful to his words and to his promises. They are yes and amen. And so here they are. They're on the other side. So they're no longer held in bondage. They've now left the region. Now they're on the other side where they can't be dragged back into that situation. You would think, or I would think, they'd be celebrating. But they're not. You took us all the way out here to die in the desert. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. We should have stayed back in bondage and back there. But God hears the murmuring of his people. And what happens is God begins to move again. He provides water. Sweet water in chapter 15. In 16, he provides manna and quail. Two more miracles poured out upon God's children. Two more blessings. Two more examples of God's love for his people. Two more examples for God's faithfulness to his people of taking them from a really horrible situation to getting to the promised land. Right? And here they are. They're murmuring and complaining. But God has a plan. I want to get this nation to the promised land. God has a plan for you. He wants to get you from where you're at to where he wants you to be. Now, you may be where he wants you to be right now, but I promise you, you're not going to stay there your entire life. Okay? He's going to give you something else. He's going to give you another promise. He's going to give you another vision. He's going to give you another dream. He's going to give you another assignment. Because we weren't created just to come in and settle in and be comfortable. Right? We've been talking about preaching. We've been talking about your ministers of reconciliation, your preachers of the word, your doers. We're not just to sit back and... So you're going to get another assignment. You're going to get another promise, another place that God wants to take you. So don't get comfortable where you're at. Don't get comfortable where you're at. Do you know when you get comfortable what happens? I don't know if this has ever happened to you. Do you ever come home and you eat dinner and you go sit on your couch or your recliner and you pick up the clicker? You know the clicker, right? Put on the TV. I'm in a little house in the prairie mode right now. It's unbelievable. I go through weird phases. It's all about Little House right now. Actually, it's so funny that my son had to text his friend and be like, you wouldn't believe my dad's DVRing Little House on the Prairie. I told him I want them to start calling me Pa. Call me Pa in the house. But you sit in that comfy chair, right? You put the recliner up, you got a comfy couch. And what happens when you get comfortable? You start to fall asleep, you let your guard down, you get comfortable, all that happens. Well, that happens even with God when we get comfortable and we get to a place where we're just like, yeah, whatever. All of a sudden, apathy can set in. The desire and passion is no longer burning hot and heavy. It seems to subside, because then we'll pull a blanket on and snuggle up and or put the air on if it's too hot. Well, see, God doesn't want us to do that. He has a plan and a purpose. He wants us to move forward and fulfill that which he's called us to do. And here, all these miracles are happening, and then all of a sudden, God tells them and shows them what is ahead of them. And they murmur and they complain. See, but what I love about God is that God is faithful. Because in the murmuring and the complaining, if you read Joshua verses 1 through chapters 1 through 5, you see the taking of the promised land. You see the fulfillment of the promise of God coming to pass. Why? Because God's faithful. That's why. Because God is faithful to his people. He's faithful to his people. What I don't understand with these individuals, all those great, we're talking major moves of God. We're talking like oceans spreading apart. We're talking like water from rocks. We're talking waking up in the morning and my food for the day is right before me and I just need to gather it up. We're talking some serious heavy-duty miracles of God's great power that I would think would build people's faith to a point where it would be unshaken no matter what they're looking at or no matter what they're going through. And yet they're like, yeah, we better not go there. Man, those people are big. They're seven-footers. Did you forget the chariots and the army? Did you forget the ocean? Did you forget you had no food and drink? Did you forget? And you see people that look big, and you're like, oh, we can't do that. But I think what I love about Joshua and Caleb is their attitude. And I think if we're going to walk and move and function under the unction of the Holy Spirit and move with in the realms and seeing the promises of God's, the promises fulfilled because of his faithfulness, we have to have the same attitude that Joshua and Caleb had. And see, because what I love about Joshua and Caleb is that when they stepped out, they had the courage to step out and to speak words that were against the whole complete party. They weren't popular words. They were going against what everybody else thought should be being done. Oh, we should stay here. We shouldn't go. He's like, no, we should go. If God promised it, we'll have it. If God showed it to us, it's ours. See, they had the courage to go against the word of everybody else around them. They stood up, and they didn't like do it in a secret pocket. They didn't like be like, hey, Caleb, come here. I think that we should. No, they stepped out in the assembly of people, and they said, hey, we need to go. See, what I love about Joshua and Caleb was they didn't just sit back and allow things to, you know, be said and not address how they felt. They spoke faith-filled words. If God promised it, it shall come to pass. Right? They spoke truth and facts. Look, we have the fruit of the land. We have the, you see before us what God said is ours. And we know that what God can do. We know the power and the strength of God. We know that he can deliver us. Why should we not go? Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. I love that about Joshua and Caleb. And I think as individuals, as a church, as a body of believers, we too must have that same attitude. We too must, you know, start to completely believe what the Word of God says. We must completely trust and have a full confidence in God and his faithfulness to me as a son or a daughter of his. Right? It's like my kids when they were younger. We would be in the pool. And I had some insanity times growing up, and so I didn't just want a deck for my pool. My first deck was a two-tier deck, so it was about, you know, 6 or 7 feet off the water. And so, but my kids would run, and they would jump into my hands in the pool. Why? Because they completely trusted me that I would be there to help them if needed, if they couldn't come out of the water. Okay? That's how we have to live as believers. We have to have the complete trust in confidence in the Word of God and the promises of God that he has spoken into our lives individually and corporately as a church. And we must stand against everything else that is going on around us, saying that it won't come to pass. It will come to pass. God's word does not return void. His promises don't come up empty. And here we see that because if you read Joshua, it comes to pass. And see, they clearly and boldly spoke what was happening. And we too must clearly and boldly speak. You know, let's choose today to become like Joshua and Caleb and not the unbelieving people. If you got a promise that God spoke, speak it. Pray over it. Share it. See, you know, Pastor Rob spoke the other night, and I'm going to try to do this and see if I can pull this up. Pastor Rob spoke the other night, and he shared a prophetic word. Y'all, if you weren't here Wednesday, I want to encourage you to go to our website and listen to the word that Pastor Rob shared at our midweek service. It was awesome. But he shared this word, and I believe it's so true. This was a prophetic word that was given on September 30th in this sanctuary at the 10 o'clock service. And see, this is the word that I was praying over this weekend and declaring because it was a promise that I believe that God's going to be faithful and fulfilling. It said that the Lord would say not to put him in a box, that we are to have a bigger vision of who he is. We are to stop trying to control the outpouring of what he wants to do, that he will bring about the word of the prophet Joel declared that in the last days he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, that we would no longer hold back that which he would do, that we would remove our hands from trying to be God and let God, you know, become part and be in our lives and in our homes and in our workplaces and in our churches and in our services, that we would step back from the way we think things should be and allow him to do things the way he wants to do things. We must not have a small vision, a small understanding of who he is. We must go deeper, and to get deeper understanding and the knowledge of who he is. It goes on and it says, the time of boxing and controlling, putting everything together the way we feel is over, saith the Lord. He wants to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. He wants to pour out the fire that has not been seen in a long time. He's looking for a people who will be willing and who will be obedient and who will not be judgmental, who will not allow themselves to get in the way of what he wants to do. Stop running and closing him out. Don't run away, but run into Jesus. Amen. And so here, that word was spoken in September, and I think it's important that we realize that those things, if we're willing to do what is needed and necessary as his children, there will be that great outpouring. We've been talking about it. Our word for the year was awakened, that God would spiritually awaken this church and awaken its people to fulfill the call and that he has placed on us as a ministry, but also that it would fulfill the call that he's placed on your life, whatever arena that is in, whether it's the business arena, whether it's the educational arena, whether it's the private business arena or stay-at-home arena, whatever it may be. But God had given you a promise, or God will give you a promise. If you don't have a promise from God, I will pray that today God reveals something to you for your life. If you don't know what, ask God what. Say, God, I don't know what. Show me, tell me. What is it, God? Where am I going? What do you want me to do? And see, I believe that, you know, God is faithful to see these things come to pass. And when I talk about the faithfulness of God, what I'm saying is that God always does exactly what he says he's going to do. And he acts in accordance to his nature, because faithfulness is an attribute or a character trait of God Almighty itself, of himself. That's who he is. It's part of who he is. Faithfulness, goodness, these are attributes of God that come out of him because it's the very nature of who he is. God just can't wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm not going to be faithful to my people today. That's not who he is. It's not his nature. Although we may not feel that God's moving the way we feel he should be moving, that doesn't mean he's not moving. He's still going to be faithful because that's who he is. He's still going to be good because that's who he is. He's still going to be a loving God because that's who he is. That's his nature. That's his character. And so when I say of God's faithfulness, it's him doing exactly what he says he's going to do. It's God's faithfulness is the unwavering commitment to his people through his promises and through his covenant. If you think about the covenant that we have with Jesus and through Jesus, what? It was talked about in the Old Testament about him coming, right? And that he would be led off to slaughter. And it walks you through what Jesus was going to go through. And it was a covenant that God promised. You know, it was a promise that God had given people, and then we see it come to pass. He doesn't go back on his promises or his commitment to his people. We have to understand that. And it's very hard to understand that when we're in the in-between stage, right? We can talk about America 2020. It's very hard for some people to think that God is still on the throne and in control. Not this guy. No problem believing God's in control. I'm looking at it as a wake-up call to the church, as a wake-up call to the believers. I'm looking at it as, you know, maybe, just maybe, God's getting our attention through some of this, that we as believers, and I'm speaking, not you, I'll just say me as a believer, maybe I've slumbered a little bit too much in certain areas. Maybe God's trying to wake me up. Maybe we slumbered in our pursuit in prayer. Maybe we slumbered in our pursuit of knowing God's word. Maybe we slumbered in the pursuit of being an evangelist, of sharing Jesus with our neighbor. Just maybe we've slumbered in some areas, and God's way. I'm not saying that this is from God. Don't hear me on this. So don't quote it. Don't tweet it. Don't Instagram it. I'm not saying that. But just maybe through all of this, God is saying to the church that, hey, listen, you've been sleeping. It's time to get up. Believers, it's time to get up and rise up, because I got some covenant promises that are attached with some blessings for your life. But you got to wake up. Now, I know that's not a great preaching word. That's not, you know, some people are like, but this is the reality. This is the truth of it. We may be in the in-between stage, but God is faithful. When you look at the word faithful defined in the dictionary, it's dedicated, it's dependable, it's worthy of trust. That's who God is. God is dependable. God is worthy of all of our trust. And God is dedicated to his people. He's steadfast. You know, if you think about the faithfulness of God regarding his people, we know what sin does, right? Y'all know what sin does? Sin separates. The Bible talks about it. Okay, it separates. There's a separation. But God was so faithful that he promised his son Jesus. And he was so faithful that Jesus actually came in the human form. And he was so faithful that he allowed his son to die on a wooden cross, something like that, on Golgotha, in front of a brutal death. Not a nice, easy death, but a brutal death where you beat me beyond recognition, where his body was just gushing blood, and he was nailed to the cross. See, his faithfulness says, I love my children so much that my only son would come from the throne room of heaven, walk in the natural form to go and die a brutal death for the reconciliation of my children to me. See, because he realized that burning goats and killing chickens and all the other things that you had to sacrifice from the doves and that wasn't going to cut it much longer. And that worked for a season in the Old Testament, under the Old Testament law, but he had a better plan, and that plan was Jesus Christ. And so we no longer need the Day of Atonement where we gather everyone together and kill a bunch of animals for the remission of our sin for the entire year. But we have Jesus Christ, who by his blood we are washed free of all our sin and our inequity, and we're brought back into a divine relationship with the Father. And he was so faithful that he sent his son Jesus. So faithful that he sent his son Jesus. Think about that. How powerful is that? It's powerful. Y'all with me today? Y'all, you're getting a little something here? You get a little nugget, that's all that matters. A little something. Because I'm going to encourage you to go home and watch it 4 or 5 more times. Get our views up online. So when people are scrolling through, like, ooh, they watch a lot of that. Watch a lot of that. And so, you know, when we talk of faithful, you need to know that God is so faithful. The Bible says this about the faithfulness of God in Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. First of all, he's God. And that he's faithful. And he's faithful in keeping his commandments of love to 1,000 generations. So God isn't just faithful to those that we just read about this morning, but God is faithful to thousands of generations, and we're part of that move. We're part of that faithfulness. God is faithful. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. That's who you and I serve. The Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness is to all generations. That's the God you and I serve. And so the faithfulness of God actually has an effect on our everyday walk with him and in life. And let me just share a couple of these with you real quick. We must understand that the faithfulness of God actually guarantees our forgiveness. The faithfulness of God guarantees our forgiveness. Because the Bible says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. See, because God loves us so much and because he is a faithful God, when we, now none of you have ever done this. Me, I'll be honest with you. I was a great sinner. Just so you all know, I was an amazing sinner. I mean, I tore it up. Okay? But here's the reality. Being such a good sinner, when it came to the realization that that wasn't the way, that when I went to Jesus and I confessed with my mouth that he was Lord and Savior, that I believe with my faith and I put my trust in the cross and in the work of the cross and in the work of redemption, and I invited him into my life as the Lord, as the headship of me, God was so loving and faithful to me that he took that mess and he washed it all away from me and he gave me a clean slate. Amen? Just like it's available to you. Why? Because he's faithful. Why? Because he wants covenant relationship. And he wants us to be in that divine relationship. And that is the second part of God's faithfulness for you and I, is that God is so faithful that in his faithfulness, he desires divine fellowship. So not only does he clean me up, but he also invites me and wants me to be a part of a relationship with him. But I want to encourage you and tell you that it's a relationship that's individual first. Okay? And when I say individual, I mean it's you and him. Now, I'm married, and I have two children, and my family, I think, is the greatest family in the world. But my relationship with Jesus is individual, first and foremost. It's not me, my wife, and Jesus. No, it's me and Jesus, my wife and Jesus, my son and Jesus, my daughter and Jesus. And then as a family, we can have family Jesus time as well. But the reality is God wants me individually, but then he wants my complete family also. Do you see where I go? But before we get to the whole group, like this is a church, a gathering of people, right? But he wants individual relationship. He wants individual fellowship. He wants individual connection and covenant. And because he's so faithful, because I told you that he washes our sin, and because of the relationship that we have in Jesus and the forgiveness of sin because of the shedding of the blood on the cross, God desires and wants divine fellowship. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says. And he has invited you into partnership with his son. God has invited you into a partnership and into a relationship with his son Jesus to have divine fellowship with the Father. What I love about that, that's the best partnership you can get into. Anybody ever do a partnership with someone after about 3 months, you're like, oh my gosh, what did I do? They looked like an angel, but man, they're the devil. You ever been there before? You will not get that with this divine relationship. Because it's based and founded on the Son Jesus, the shedding of the blood. I'm a son of his. You are a son or daughter of the living Most High God. He forgave you of your sin because of his faithfulness and his love for you. And now because of his faithfulness, he wants to have fellowship with you. That excites me. That excites me. God is faithful. And he desires that faithful relationship that is available to us. Let me ask you that question. Are you in relationship with Jesus? Have you come to know Jesus as Lord? Have you confessed? Have you repented? Have you believed with your faith and trusted in who Jesus is? Are you in covenant relationship with him? Are you? If not, today is your day. I love the faithfulness of God, because not only will he forgive me, And not only will he bring me into this connection, but you know that the faithfulness of God helps me overcome temptation that comes my way? Did you know that? Now, has anyone ever been tempted before? Right? Y'all been tempted before? Whew! But you know that because God is so faithful to his children, the Bible says this. Let me read it to you so I get it perfectly right. In 1 Corinthians, it says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God, did something happen to my microphone? Did I get all like weird, or is that just me, my ears? Okay. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, the Bible says, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Woohoo! Temptation is inevitable. It's going to happen. But because God is faithful to his children, because we're in divine fellowship and relationship, because we've been bought with a price and our sins have been forgiven and we're connected in this relationship, that when we're faced with a temptation, he is faithful to show you a way out. There is no temptation that can overtake you. There's always a way out. Always a way out. True story. So I go to the bank Friday with my wife. We're big rollers. We cash two checks for like $42, okay? No joke. No, $46 because 32 of it was my daughter's. So my wife and I were rolling on the $14 check. Maybe we'll get up and grab a couple burgers from McDonald's for lunch or something, you know? So we go through the teller window. I know the teller. I can't see her, so she says, "Hi, Tom." I'm like, "Hi." We're talking back and forth. I give her my checks. She cashes them, sends the envelope back. I take my license out. I close. I put my license in my wallet. We drive off. So we had to go out to the city. So we're out in the city, and we're going towards the city. And my wife goes, "Where's that envelope? I'll put the money in my wallet." So she said, "Oh, it's in the counter thing and the thing." So she reaches the envelope, opens it up, and she goes, "Oh, no." I'm like, "What?" She goes, "I don't think this is our envelope." I'm like, "Why?" And she begins to fan out all these 20s. And I'm like, "No, that's a blessing. Fan me with it, baby." She goes, "This is not our envelope. Look at all these 20s. I'm like, "Oh, no, it's not." Now, listen, here's the deal. At that point, you have two options. I have two options that moment right there. Think it's a blessing and keep it, or call the bank. You see, it's subtle. It comes before us in all different ways and shapes. It's very subtle. It's not always blatant. It's just subtle. Here I have all this money. What do I do? Well, my first thought was I need to call the bank. One, because to keep it would be wrong. It's stealing. And two is I didn't want someone to lose a job over a possible mistake that was inadvertently made. Or three, I don't want them to think that because she knows me, she gave me a little extra, you know, pile of 20s because she was blessing me. I don't want that to happen. And so I called the bank. And the lady in the teller's like, "Whoa, well, thank you so much for calling." Well, gave her all the information. Make a long story short, the machine read my $14 check as a $140 check instead of a $14 check. And I'm like, "Well, that's the bank's fault. That should just be a blessing then." Right? And so, but do you see how temptation can subtly come in? That's just one example. We can go through them over and over. But because God is faithful, because God is, I'm in a covenant relationship with God, what he does is he begins to bring back remembrance to Scripture. He begins to bring back to remembrance the foundational truths of right or wrong that we know of. And then we now have an option and a choice to make the right decision based off what God is showing us. Right? So because he's faithful, I don't have to fall into temptation. I don't have to fall and be pulled off of the course in which God wants me to walk and to live in. And so God is faithful. God is faithful that he protects us. I think of Joshua and Caleb and the whole nation as they began to come out from bondage. God protected them, didn't he? He got them through the sea, didn't he? He protected them in the desert. He watched over them. He fed them. He gave them water. He gave them all that was needed and necessary, and yet they still rebelled against them. But the reality was God protected him. God is so faithful that he protects you and I. It says, the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and he will guard you from the evil one. God will watch over you and he will watch over you and I. It's part of the relationship. It's part of who he is. It's part of his nature. It's part of, you know, the outpouring of God's love. It's all encompassing in that relationship that we have with him. He forgives. He brings us into this relationship. He helps us overcome temptation. He protects us. He strengthens us. This is all part of the faithfulness of God that we experience in our lives on a daily basis. But what we can't do is we cannot be stuck in the in-between. Because in the in-between of getting to the destination that God has showed us, we can mess it up. We can start to say, well, God's not faithful. I've been here for 2 days. Well, we live in a microwave society. Everything's quick now. Right? I mean, think about this. The other day, I was going to cook dinner, and so I said, oh, I'll make these, you know, I think it was like chicken fingers or something like that. And I actually went to the different ones that I have, and I cooked the ones that took less time because I wanted it now. And we relate that to God. But in the in-between, we can lose sight of the goodness of God, of the love of God, of the mercy of God, of the faithfulness of God, how he's gotten us from one point to the other. And I think it's important that in the in-between we stay focused on the cross, that we stay focused on who Jesus is and what he's done previously in our lives and how he's been moving. And we have to be willing to put down everything aside and stay focused and realize that he was so faithful that when I was a sinner, he saved me. That he is so faithful that when I was all alone, he pulled me into relationship, into fellowship with him. That he was so faithful that when I faced the battles of the world, when I faced the temptations, when I faced to be pulled off course, that he gives me a way out, that I don't have to fall into it and then pay the price for what I fell into, right? Because how many of us know that sometimes when we fall to temptation, there's a result that we end up paying the price for sometimes, right? We need to realize that when I feel weak, he gives me strength. When I feel like when I'm out there, he says, no, I'm like the eagle. Come up and let me put you underneath my wing and let me rest you and protect you with my wing. I am your refuge. I am your strength, the Bible says in Psalms 46. He says, God is our refuge. We need to realize that because of his faithfulness to his people. God is not going to shun you. God is not going to... Listen, you have not done something so wrong that God would push you away. You just got to say, God, forgive me for it, and let's heal me from what's going on and help me get to the next phase. You want to know the greatest example of faithfulness and covenant fulfillment? Right here. I can't wait till COVID's over. These are a pain, just so you know. And if you're at home watching and you haven't experienced these communion elements, if you need communion elements, just raise your hand and one of the ushers will bring you some down. This is the greatest show of God's faithfulness to his people. See, because in the Garden of Eden, when separation took place, God still desired reconciliation and divine relationship. And so he was so faithful that Jesus died on the cross. And we hold these symbols of the body and blood of Jesus Christ in our hands today. This is nothing more than really tasty grape juice. And they call this a wafer. I do not know what it really is, but they call this a wafer. But the reality is they're nothing more than symbols of what something spiritually strong took place. And it's a sign of God's faithfulness to his people, that he loves us so much. And I love that, on how God loves me. See, Jesus used the same exact symbolism in talking about himself. And he held up bread and wine. Now, we all know that we need food to survive, right? You can go so many days without water and so many days without food before you'll perish. So he used something that would show them that they could connect with. And so he said, bread and wine, my body and my blood. Now spiritually, the body and blood of Jesus, we can't live without. Because we partake in Jesus and he's in us, he gives us what is needed to nourish us, to fulfill us, to feed us spiritually, that we can move and grow here on earth and do the will and the call that he's placed on us. But we need Jesus every day. And this was a great symbol that we get to celebrate of God's faithfulness every time we gather. Now, we have been offering it on Sundays every week again. It's on our communion table. You can walk up and receive the elements every Sunday. We do corporate communion once a month. But this is the greatest, I believe, the greatest show of God's faithfulness. He promised it throughout the Old Testament of the coming of his son, laid it out what would happen to him, and then that happens. He promised in Joel the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, right? And we saw the upper room. We spent a whole summer on the book of Acts and what God was doing there. It just shows you how faithful God is. And this shows you how much God loves you. And so let's stand to our feet this morning. Worship, you guys can come up. Let's stand to our feet this morning as we get prepared to receive the communion elements, the body and blood of Jesus, the sustaining factor in my spiritual walk, the sustaining factor in my natural walk, the sustaining factor in my entire life is Jesus Christ. And he died on the cross for me, and he died on the cross for you. And so Jesus was with his disciples that day, and he was telling them he was going away. But he needed to go there, and he needed to fulfill what was needed to be done. But he talked about his body and the blood. And so we do that today. We recognize that his body was broken on the cross. That while he was hanging on the cross in Golgotha, it was disfigured. It was full of blood. It was beyond recognition. And he did that because he loves us. And so, Father, I thank you for your body that was broken. And Father, we recognize it and we celebrate that you did this for us and that you were faithful to the very end. That prior to going in the garden, you said, if it's your will, I'll do it. And you did it. And so, Father, we celebrate, we thank you, we remember what you did for us, and we break and we partake of your body this day. And he held up the cup of wine. And he said, this is the blood that was shed for the remission of sin. And Lord, I thank you that we hold this cup of juice, which is a symbolism of your blood that was shed on the cross for us. And that God, through the shedding of the blood, there's the remission of sin. God, we thank you that once again you fulfilled that which needed to be done. That God, you were faithful to send your son for us. So now we partake. Let us drink. Lord, you are a faithful God. It cannot be denied. It cannot be out-talked of how you're not one. From Genesis to Revelations, you declare and you show your faithfulness to your people. God, I pray that this day we had got a greater glimpse of that faithfulness. That God, even in the midst of all that went on, Joshua and Caleb saw exactly who you were. Let us do the same this day. Let us be like Joshua and Caleb, speak words of faith and courage, even if it goes against popular opinion. Let us walk boldly by faith, confidently being assured that every word that you had spoken, every promise that you have declared shall come to pass. Let us not be moved or shaken by what we see in the natural, but let us look into the supernatural, into the spiritual, and how you will lead your people. Father, I declare that this day that we get a full understanding of that faithfulness that forgives, that faithfulness that draws into divine fellowship and relationship, that faithfulness that overcomes temptation, that faithfulness that deposits strength and protection into our lives. Let us walk from this place today, knowing that we know You are a faithful God. We see what you did with the Israelites. We see how you moved them into the promised land. We saw in Joshua how they went to the promised land, they conquered the promised land, and they divided the promised land up. And God, we stand here today, as Joshua said, we don't know who other people will serve, but as for me and my house, we choose to serve you, God, because you are loving and faithful. And God, I even now pray for your faithfulness of provision in our lives. I pray over our offering this morning. God, as we prepare to leave service and put our offering into the offering plates, we never forget that you are the greatest provider. Father, I thank you for your provision. I thank you that your hand is upon it, blessing it. Father, I thank you, God, that we have the opportunity to worship you through our giving. Father, I declare your hand of favor, your hand of favor over it this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap? You serve a faithful God. Amen. We serve a faithful God, and every promise will come to pass in His time. So be encouraged, stay strong, stay confident, stay in the Word, be a people of prayer, and watch what happens. Amen? So listen, real quick, two quick announcements. Tuesday mornings, Pastor Shirley's been doing a class. Now, if you've been here, you know that it's been unbelievable. Tuesday mornings, 10:30, right here in the sanctuary. We do it in the sanctuary. We split it up. She's got some things going on. She had the Ark of the Covenant out the other day. I'm telling you, it's powerful. It's moving. God's Spirit is flowing. And you don't want to miss it if you could be here on Tuesday mornings at 10:30. We have another small group starting with Pastor Dan and Sandy. It is called Balance of Grace and Faith. They're going through the book of Ephesians. And so that'll be here at the church as well. There's a ladies' event coming up. There's a lot of things happening, so you need to visit our website so you can stay connected with what's happening and be a part of what's going on. We'll be unrolling more small groups throughout September, as well as getting a plan for our Sunday school to be reopening in September. And so I want to ask for your prayers for all that, but God bless you. Thank you for being here, and may this word sit in you, and may you chew on it all week so you can continue to grow in Him. Amen? So God bless you, safe travels, and have a safe holiday weekend, and thank you for being here. God bless. Hey, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in today's service. I hope that God touched you. I hope He challenged you in your faith, and most importantly, that you drew closer to Him this day. You know, as you go through each and every week, you may come across times when you need prayer. I want to encourage you, if you're at that point, right there on our website, you can click the prayer request tab, and we will pray for you in whatever needs you may be having. You know, as I talk to many people in the service and after service and throughout the week, many people say, how can we partner with South Towns? And I believe there's two important ways that you can partner with us and our ministry here. And the first one is prayer. You can be praying for our ministry that we continue to be the beacon of hope in the Hamburg Lakeview area. Or you can donate and become a financial giver to this ministry. And you can easily do that by donating online. So those are the two most important ways that I believe you can help partner with us. One is your prayers, and two is by making a financial donation so we can continue to present the gospel to everyone in our community and in our surrounding areas. But once again, thank you so much for tuning into today's service. I hope that God's word touched you and impacted you, and we'll see you soon. God bless.